Scripture reading this morning will be coming from Mark 7, verses 1 through 9. Mark 7, verses 1 through 9, I'll be reading from the New King James. Then the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to him, having come from Jerusalem. Now when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is, unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, and there are many other things which they have received and hold, like the washing of cups, pitchers, copper vessels, and couches. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?" And he answered and said to them, "Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do.'" He said to them, "All too well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition."
You to think about it for just a minute and give an honest answer to yourself. On a scale from 1 to 10, how popular are you? On a scale 1 to 10, how popular are you? You may think that that has more to do with our young people than it does the older people. Not necessarily. On a scale of 1 to 10, how popular are you? Number 2, how important is it to you how popular you really are? On a scale of 1 to 10. Third question, have you ever? That's bad when something starts like that, have you ever? That covers a long time for some of us. Have you ever or do you ever make fun of people that are not just like you? Those are tough questions if you're honest. You know, it's easy to answer some questions sometimes. You think, well, no, I know what the right answer is here. No, I don't care how popular I am, and it doesn't bother me. I don't make fun of people. But think for just a minute, have you ever? When you get home this afternoon, go to CBS News. CBS News, and let me find it. Olive Middle School in Michigan. I don't know if any of y'all saw this on the news or not. Middle school football team. They had planned this for weeks. Middle school. I asked Wendy between Sunday school and preaching, I said, "How old is middle school?" And she said, probably 10 to 12, 13. So you're talking about young boys, young men, however you want to word that, from ages 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. In this area, they worked hard and they planned for several weeks, and the coaches knew nothing about it. They made a plan. They schemed something together. It actually involved two decisions, two plays in this football game. You see, they had a little boy on their football team that weighed about, and you can watch the video. It's hard to get to the video if you go to this website. Go to the very bottom. At some point in the bottom, I forgot where it is, you can click on the video, and it walks you through everything I'm fixing to tell you in more detail. Watch the video. It's really good. They had a young boy on the team that was about 70 pounds, I guess, a little bitty guy, and he had some mental disabilities. He loved to hug. He had trouble learning. And in the video, when you watch him, he's always going up these big old boys, these big football boys, and he wants to hug them and he'll embrace them. I'm not talking about a 48-year-old man, although I would have to challenge myself. How would you react if someone like that came up to you and constantly wanted to hug you or hold on to you? Would you push them away? Probably not. Would you avoid them because you didn't want that being brought to you every time? Because after all, we may, a few minutes ago, answered the question, how popular am I? I may think I'm an 8, 9, 10. And then when someone that's not exactly like I am, they come up and they want to hold my hand, or they want me to hold them, or them hold me publicly, do I push them away? Well, these boys, these football players, two things had to take place in this football game. Number one, they had to get as close to the goal line as they could without scoring, even if it meant taking a dive on the one-yard line. Coaches knew nothing about it. Watch the video. A boy is running. You know he's going to score. He's wide open. He falls down just with inches of the goal line. The crowd goes nuts. They're upset because this kid fell down before he got in the end zone. They turn the tape off for a minute. Tape comes back on. They're fixing to go for the touchdown. If you'll look real close in this video, there's a little bitty boy in the middle of a monster of men. They said, you follow us. First play was get as close as they can. Second play was get this young man to score. He got in the game. I don't know if the coaches knew that or not. But they surrounded him by boys that was really, really good. And when they snapped that ball, he went in the end zone. You know what he said, the little guy? When they asked him how it felt, he said, awesome. It felt awesome. That's not really the story, though, as good as that is. The story goes on, and watch the video. I'm stressing that. I want y'all to see that. It's not the little guy that had mental disabilities. It's someone else that's normal that really changed the most, because when they interviewed him, they said, no, sir, I never would have thought of doing that. I never would have thought about taking the game or taking myself because I am concerned about myself. And I never would have thought of doing that for that young boy, but I'm proud that we did. He knew that they were planning to do it, but when he run out on the field, this, I think he's a wide receiver, he said, I was grinning from ear to ear because I knew what was about to take place. And when that boy went in and scored, it changed this wide receiver's life. It changed people's lives because they realized that I may not be the most important thing. Helping someone else might be more important. And they interviewed a lot of the players, and they all stressed one thing, and that one thing was the smile that he had on his face. And he went from being the kid that was not normal, going from being the kid that no one really wanted to hug, to being popular, fitting in, because they knew that he had a team then that stood behind him. This week I looked up a couple definitions. Popular, widely admired, accepted, or sought after. Then I turned a few pages in the dictionary and I looked up unpopular. Quality of lacking general approval or acceptance. Are you popular or are you unpopular? Today's lesson, I want us to talk about the unpopularity of Christ. You know, sometimes we look at ourselves and we worry about ourselves and we think, how is it that people perceive me? And we're talking about worldly people here. I know that everybody understands how we need to be perceived and how people see us as Christians, but we've got to wear that hat all the time. The way that we feel in here this morning, that's the hat we need to keep on. We can't worry about how people see us as a Christian on Sunday, and then when we go out the rest of the week at school, at college, at work, wherever we are, I'm not preaching to our young people, I'm preaching to everybody, especially myself. We've got to have that same hat on every day of the week, in the sense that we don't switch from worrying about being a Christian to worrying about how the world sees us as being popular. But I'm going to tell you, we live in a society today that is more concerned about being popular, more concerned about living for the world and accepting anything and everything that comes along. And the challenge for each one of us is, where is the line in the sand? I hope and pray that we all got one. Wherever you're at in your life, you've got to have a line somewhere that says, I'm not going to cross this line because this goes from good to evil. And I'm afraid that the line is blurred today. That hat that I'm talking about is the hat that we have to wear every day and not worry about what the world thinks about whether we're popular or unpopular, because we're going to look at Christ. And we're going to look at how unpopular he really was. In John chapter 3 and verse 19, Jesus explained his lack of popularity. He said this, and this is a condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. And he answers that even further. He said, because their deeds are evil. People love darkness more than light. Why? Jesus answered, he said, because their deeds are evil. How are our deeds? Three things real quick this morning I want us to think about when we think about the unpopularity of Christ. Why was he unpopular? After all, we're here this morning, we're worshiping God, and there's not a one of us in here, I'm sure, that does not love Jesus Christ. Because we understand the sacrifice that he made. We understand the love that he had for us. The death that he died on the cross for us, wanting us to be saved. Turn to John chapter 3. Read verses 16 and 17 again. I know you know what 16 says, and I talk a lot about 17. But read those two verses, and you can see how much love that you are loved. Number one. Jesus was unpopular because he opposed traditions of men that was contrary to God's word. Now, wait a minute, Tim. A lot of times today, we have to be politically correct. We've got to be careful what we say. We've got to be careful what we do, because we cannot eliminate anyone, or we cannot push someone away. I can't tell you over the last 2 years, I guess 2 years, how many times people have asked me this question. They'll say, Tim, or Brother Tim, it depends on who it is I'm talking to, whether they know me or not. What are you going to do when a gay couple comes and asks you to perform a marriage ceremony? I've been asked that several times. Not to do the ceremony, but been asked, what am I going to do when asked? And I respond the same way to everybody. If you ask me on the way out, I'm going to respond to you just like I did those people. I'm not going to do it. And then they come back with, oh, you'll have to. And I respond back, oh, no, you don't know me. I don't have to. But you see where I'm going with that? Too many people worry about what somebody else is going to say. They're more worried about what the country that we live in, what they're going to say, rather than what God says. You see, if we're going to look at traditions, and that's what this first point is, that he opposed traditions of men that were contrary to the will of God. If we're going to stand for the will of God, when people get traditions, and it used to not be this way, we are changing. I guarantee it. We're changing our mindset as a country. We used to stand here. Now we're standing way over here. And because our traditions are even changing, where are we going to stand? And this sermon is not about homosexuality. It's about anything that we want to put there Jesus was unpopular because he did not stand where tradition stood. You know, people really love their traditions, no doubt about it. They often love them more than they love the Word of God. Jesus was unpopular with religious leaders because he did not follow their traditions. Dale read for us in Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 9. And this was true in the time of Jesus. It was true in the time of Isaiah. And unfortunately, it's same as it is, it's true today. When you think about what Dale read for us, you know, came together unto them the Pharisees, a certain scribes, which came from Jerusalem. Verse 2, and when they saw some of his disciples eat bread and with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. And I'm not going to reread what Dale read for us there. But if you look down and you get all the way down to verses 8 and 9, for laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the traditions of men, as the washing of pots and cups and others such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own traditions. We hold on to the traditions sometimes of what we think or what we've been taught, instead of putting first and foremost in our mind what God says. No matter what the world says, God's law has got to come first. You know, the religious lives, or the religious lives of most people, are governed not by scriptures. And I'm talking about overall when we think about religious people. They're not governed by scriptures, but they're governed by tradition. You take many of the denominational world, or probably each of the denominations, write and rewrites their own articles of faith. They will sit down and they will write their articles of faith, and in a few years, they'll rewrite those things. You have an opportunity to ask somebody sometime that's a member of the denomination, ask them why they do that. Why is it that ever so many years we have to go back to the drawing board, as you will, and you get a group of people together and you get a scratch pad, you get a legal pad out here, and you start writing number one? This is where we used to stand. This is how we used to teach things, but this is how we're going to teach now. You know, they do not claim that their creeds are inspired. They do not claim that they're from God, and they do claim that the Bible is from God. But when you talk to people and you think about how the world is living today, even in the denominational world, they hold their traditions, their creeds, their ideas much higher than they do the Word of God. You know, I think we need more people standing in front of people holding the Bible up and saying, this is where we're going to stand, and this is why we're going to stand there. The challenge is to be like Jesus, oppose the traditions of man. You know, if we wish to be a true follower of Christ, we must put aside human traditions, and we have to put in front and follow only the Word of God. Many people and their traditions love their traditions more than they love the Word of God. And that's why Jesus is not really that popular. You know, a man may praise Jesus 1,000 times with his lips, continue to praise him over and over again, but if he follows the doctrines of men, his worship is void. Number two, Jesus was unpopular because he emphasized spiritual values and he taught that the vanity of material things. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. He emphasized spiritual values and he taught the vanity of material things. What's most important to us? What's most important that we're teaching our children? chapter 19, starting in verse 16 of the book of Matthew. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good except one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man saith unto him, All these things I have kept from my youth, what lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Here is a man that had obeyed the Ten Commandments. He had held them true in his life. Obviously, he had been taught, and he held on to them. But the material wealth was the focus of his life. You know, I can't help when I was studying this and I was preparing this lesson and thinking about it. It's an illustration that didn't come from me, and I've used it several times here, but I really, really like it. About the preacher that was up preaching on heaven, and he was beating on the pulpit, and he was sounding the alarm. And finally, all of a sudden, he just stopped in the middle of his sermon. And he said, How many of y'all want to go to heaven? Everybody in the whole auditorium raised their hand except one older man on the back. And he asked him why he didn't raise his hand. He said, I thought you was getting up a trip now. He wasn't ready to go. He wants to go, but he didn't want to commit today to go. And I think about that when we read this in Matthew chapter 19 and these verses that we read. How much are we willing to give up for heaven? Are we willing to sacrifice to the point? And Jesus was not popular because he emphasized, you hold on to the spiritual things and you go sell what you have. And whatever money you get off whatever you got, you give that to the poor and you dedicate your life and you follow me. You know, many people today, even though they're Christians, even though they attend church services regularly, will be lost. Because our lives are founded on material things. It goes back to one thing, I think, and this is coming from Tim and Tim only. It comes back to one thing and one thing only. That's your heart. Where is your heart with God? What do you focus on the most? What comes first in your life? You know, there's many of us, and we're all guilty, I think, of this to a degree. The payments on our houses and cars are so high that we have nothing left to give to God. We go out and we buy and we accumulate things. And we get so much in debt and payments. But Tim, I got to have a nice car. I got to have a nice truck. I got to have a nice house. I'm preaching to myself. And we fix ourselves financially to the point that we cannot give back to God. Read an article, I may have shared it with you, about a man that got a raise. The first thing he said, he got a big raise. First thing he said when he got his raise is, that is great because I can give more to God. How many times we get raises? But number two, how many times when we get a raise do we think, that's great? That is wonderful I got a raise because I've got everything that I need right now, and whatever else I get, I can give to God. I'm not pointing fingers at anyone, but it's something we need to think about. We live in luxury. We need to make sure that we've got some treasures laid up in heaven. Trying to find in my notes here, there's something I wanted to mention. Here it is. Jesus will not fit into our modern society today at all. And I put, what a statement. What a statement to say that Jesus wasn't fit today. One's life does not consist on the abundance of things that he has. You know, I think it's obvious that Jesus will not watch TV. I don't know how many times in class David and Steve and Dale and Charlie and others, Nick, whoever teaches the adult class, we'll stand up here and we'll talk about television, talk about music, and talk about different things, and how awful it is, how you can't find anything good to watch. I think we can make that statement that if Jesus were here today, he would not be watching television. We have to be careful that we do not accumulate material things and put that more important than God. You know, Jesus, he spoke a truth in chapter 16 and verse 26 of Matthew. He said, what is a man profit if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What are you going to profit if you gain it all and lose your own soul? And third and finally, Jesus was unpopular because he exposed the sinfulness of self-righteous men, and he called sinners to repentance. He was unpopular because of that. In Matthew 9 and verse 13, he said, I did not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Jesus was most popular with those who realized that they were sinners. Jesus was most popular with those who knew they needed the blood of Christ in their life. But those religious leaders, and they did not want to give up the traditions. They didn't want to give up their power that they had when Jesus was here. And you look around us today, there's a lot of folks today that do not want to give up their power, give up their place, whether we're talking about in a church or whether we're talking about in our world today. They don't want to give up their power to surrender to God. And Jesus was not very popular when he was on this earth, because he stood exactly where he needed to stand. And he stood for what he needed to stand for. This morning, are you a Christian? Are you willing to turn away from sin? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Are you willing to confess that Jesus is Lord, confess that he is the Son of God? Then today you can be baptized for the remission of your sins. You can be immersed in the watery grave of baptism today and allow the blood of Jesus to wash all your sins away, and you can be called a Christian. If you're here and you've been unfaithful and you need to rededicate your life to the Lord, our prayer is that you will come while we sing.